Welcome to the doubled up podcast.
Welcome to the doubled up podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Doubled Up Podcast, the weekly podcast talking all things trainers, sneakers, kicks, creps, whatever you call them, wherever you are in the world. I'm Matt, and with me, as he is every single week, is Scott. Scott, how you doing, mate?
Not bad, not bad. It's been a little while.
Hey, we had Easter. We weren't intending on doing this, but we ended up sort of over the Easter sort of weekend just deciding to give ourselves a little bit of time off. We felt like we deserved it, so we thought, hey, long bank holiday weekend, we had some plans going on. I was visiting parents in Poole and things like this, and I was seeing friends in Reading, etc., and it ended up being like too much of a I had lots of plans, and it ended up meaning that recording was gonna be near on impossible. So we thought, you know what, we'll give everyone a break of our dulcet tones. We'll give you guys a break and we'll give ourselves a break. But we're back and stronger than ever, mate, as always.
Yes. Well, this is the thing. Lovely four-day bank holiday. We need more of those. Lots more of them. But it is one of those where you're like, I've got all the time in the world. And then you end up filling that time pretty quickly. And like normally seeing family, think, oh, I'll be a quick little trip, it'll be fine. And then it always ends up much, much longer. So, it was nice. But I don't know about you, but the weather here was awful. We thought this will be a good time to, like, start looking at, like, the garden and doing all those little jobs, like painting the fence that we haven't done for so long.
You're such a grown-up.
Jesus. But it's one of those stupid jobs that it's like, I just can't be bothered to do. So we're like, right, four-day weekend, perfect opportunity. We'll do it. Pisses it down all weekend. Great. Yeah, not happening.
Well, as my mum always likes to say, it's always sunny in Poole. And it was exactly that. It was nice and sunny in Poole. I enjoyed myself. We went to Christchurch and saw the swans. Apparently, Christchurch is known for having a shitload of swans. And turns out, Scott, I don't like swans, right? And I don't know why this wasn't a planned segment for the podcast, but apparently now I've sort of reared myself down this rabbit hole, so I'm going to have to go this way. I've discovered I have a very specific fear about animals, Scott.
Okay.
And that is, I'm scared of animals that are very unassuming and lure you into a false sense of security, yet at any given moment will fuck you up. And the two animals that I feel like really fit into this category, horses and swans.
Right.
Both of them, hear me out. Both of them are incredibly majestic animals, right? Like, if you think about swans, obviously, I don't know whether technically they're the king's bird now, but when they're the queen's bird or something, like, you can't do anything with swans because they're protected by the royal family. So again, they're this very majestic, all white, big fucking duck. And they look all nice when they're swimming across the ponds and lakes and things like this. Any given moment, that thing is going to peck your eyeballs out and break your arm. Scare the shit out of me. Horses, again, very majestic, beautiful animals. You just walk behind them in the wrong way, they will literally kick your head in. Like, I don't like animals. At least my thought process is, at least I know a lion will eat me. At least I know an alligator will eat me. At least I know a rhino will trample me. Like, I don't know where I stand with swans and horses. And I don't really know what you're going to do with this information, Scott, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on this topic.
I kind of get it. I mean, swans, I 100% get.
They're bastards.
So on my way to my old high school, my route took me over a canal. On that kind of tiny little bridge, and it was literally, you hopped onto the canal, went over the bridge, and then hopped off it. That was it. But there was always swans. There was always a couple of swans that would just sit there. And it was just like they were waiting for you. And the amount of carnage that they caused, it was one of those. And I was always told, you know, they could break your arm.
Yeah.
They could break your arm.
It's always your arm as well, isn't it? Like, why is it? Why isn't anything else? Like, why can't they break anything else? But it's always like the story is, oh yeah, they can break your arm with their wings or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like, if you know, I wouldn't go there and like if it came at me, try and punch it because you know, break my arm. But I'll swing a leg at it. It won't break my leg. That's fine.
Exactly.
It
yeah,
aim
yeah.
For, doesn't aim for legs. Only aims for arms. It's weird. Even though I do remember, my girlfriend at the time, she lived kind of further up the canal. So what I would do, kind of towards the end, I'd cycle to school sometimes, and I'd hop on my bike. And I'd cycle and I'd get onto the canal, cycle a bit further down the canal, kind of meet up with her and then walk kind of with her and a couple of our friends over. But again, there was the swans. And I do remember vividly just thinking to myself the one day, you know what? I'm on a bike.
Yeah, what are
I'm
you
going to
do
anything while I'm on a bike. So I just cycled towards the swan and he was there like, it was basically just a standoff between me and the swan. Like, right, fucking what? Yeah, I pulled out very quickly because that thing was not moving. And all of a sudden, it's like wings out, and I'm there like, yeah, fuck this. I'm out.
I'm done.
I'm out. But yeah, horses, though. Nah, I don't mind horses because I'm of the opinion, just don't walk behind them. There's a thing with them.
They can
swans,
bite.
Long
can,
necks. Fucking,
yeah.
They can go all over the place. You ain't got
hope.
It's
true. It's true. But I'd like to, I don't know what, I don't think there are any other animals that sort of like fall into that. I think cats, to a certain degree, are sort of very unassuming. Like, they're very unassuming. They'll sit there and like ask for belly rubs and sort of be all majestic and things like this. And then like one of my friend's cats, when we were back in sort of secondary school time, he got a new cat, and 1 minute it would be fast asleep purring on your lap, and honestly in the blink of an eye would wake up and go at you. Like, it would literally like try and claw your eyeballs out. So I think they maybe fall into the category. Obviously, they're not as harmful as horses and swans, but I feel like a cat would fall into that category as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 100%. Like, yeah, they are cats. I remember, obviously, when we owned the dog boarding kennels in Kattery, it was like, dogs, fine, because you can tell. Like, you can read their body language and go, oh, okay, you're unhappy. That's fine. Cats. Bastards, just out of absolutely nowhere, and yeah, absolute, yeah, just a nightmare. And I know, like, I knew a couple of people that did masters in like animal psychology but specialized in cats. And I asked them, and they just went, to be honest, I'm studying it, and I've got no clue. You put a cat in front of me, and we ain't got a clue. Like, it's just,
oh dear,
they are incredibly unpredictable. But there's a few animals like that that are like, say, unassumingly dangerous.
Yeah.
The hippos, one that I always remember,
to a certain
hippos.
Degree. Hippos.
Well, yeah, I mean, hippos are super dangerous.
Yeah, I know, but like, I think because they're sort of a little bit cute and cuddly, like, they also, you don't necessarily anticipate that they're that dangerous. But hippos are like one of the most dangerous animals in the world, aren't they? So, like, they're worse than lions and rhino. I mean, they'll obviously fuck you up as well, but
it's one of them. It's like is it a slow loris or something like that? That's cute. It's like one of the, like, it's like a super cute little furry little creature.
It's like a sloth, but type thing, but the claws are really sharp. Yeah.
It's, well, no, it's not even the fucking claws. It's the fact that it's like saliva and fur. It can like create really poisonous toxins if it thinks it's threatened. So it's like super cute, and then if it feels threatened, basically it'll just murder you on sight.
It's, hey, like, wildlife's crazy. But we've gone on a bit. We've gone on a bit of a tangent. I do apologise, listeners. I'm sure you guys are all sat there at home listening and thinking, what other animals fall into Matt's basket of phobias? But it all stemmed from us having seemingly a lovely Easter weekend. I spent it being very, very scared of swans in the sunshine, eating ice cream, and Scott was in the rain contemplating whether he should paint a fence. So that is as exciting as our lives are.
Yeah.
But we did have some fairly major, I guess, sneaker events that happened since we recorded. Obviously, last time we recorded an episode, it was the week before Air Max Day. And we obviously said that we were going to record the episode after Air Max Day to do a little bit of a review. But obviously, the bank holiday weekend got in the way. So this is our first time, Scott, really having a proper chat since Air Max Day. And I suppose we'll start with the question that everyone sort of asks every single year is, what did we think of Air Max Day? Did it live up to the hype, or were we not so impressed?
Shit.
Okay, right, we're going straight into
it. I mean, Well, I don't know if I can say like it was shit because nothing actually happened. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know
I
exactly what you
know
mean.
every year we kind of say, "Oh, it was disappointing," and you know, it was a letdown. But there's normally stuff going on that they're there, like, okay, well, like from my point of view, I always moan because I'm not in London, therefore I don't normally see half of this stuff. And but this year it was like nothing. Like there genuinely was nothing, and I don't know what you could. I mean, we can complain that it's Air Max Day and there's meant to be stuff going on, but I mean, yeah, they didn't promise us anything. So I don't
No.
know why we expected anything. Some shoes
Yeah.
that did release, but even that was a bit kind of like odd in terms of what released, not just on the day, but around the day. So yeah, I mean, DNs and the Air Max Day Vault. Air Max Big Bubble. Well, it wasn't a big bubble actually, that one. That was it.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
you're absolutely right.
it's...
I mean, there was a little bit. I think because the fact that Air Max Day was on a Tuesday this year, it's obviously fairly limited as to what you could do on the day. I know some brands were doing things in advance. Like, for example, I'm pretty sure END, Foot Patrol, Offspring all did their own sort of little events like they normally do. I know Offspring obviously did a quiz. I think END did something where it was like with a charity where I think it was maybe Soul Circle or something like that. I think where basically like people could donate old Air Maxes and potentially in return.
Resold kit.
I don't
Is it
know.
called
It was
resold
one of
kit?
those. It was one of the charities, but I know that people could sort of like donate their
Yeah.
old Air Maxes and in return, I think get a pair of DNs or something like that, or they had an opportunity to buy the DNs. So there were sort of a couple of little events, but it wasn't quite as big from a sneakers perspective, as in like Nike sneakers, not like shoe sneakers, as maybe we thought. I don't think there was much
Yeah.
driven. I know in previous years, in the last couple of years, we've had sort of like sneakers driven events and quizzes and things like this. I remember last time, wasn't there sort of an event where there was like different people representing like different countries and all sorts, and did feel like it fell a little bit flat. A lot of people are very happy with getting their Royal Blue Vault Air Max Day Air Max Ones. We said sort of in the build up for the week that we both thought the blue pair was a little bit nicer than the red pair. I think we both sort of said on our
Oh yeah,
podcast
100%.
that the red pair, the sort of red in the vault, is quite loud, and the blue for me sort of like calms down the vault a little bit. I've seen a lot of people that have really, really liked that pair, and people that missed out on the original anniversary red pair now being able to get this pair. So I do always like it when people get to sort of have a little bit of a redemption year and get something that they've sort of missed out on. But yeah, it just felt sort of a little bit flat. Normally on Air Max Day, if I'm not planning on buying anything, I sort of get that FOMO, and there's a moment where I'm sort of carting whatever big releases releasing, and I'm sort of like having to do that mental in my head, like, oh, do I, don't I, oh, not too sure. You have that mental battle, don't you, of like, I wasn't planning on buying shoes today, but it's Air Max Day and I don't want to miss out. Didn't feel that at all this year. Just felt like it was any other day, but I knew that some people were buying the vaults.
Yeah, I mean, that was literally it. Obviously, the anniversary is released on well, the blues, the big bubble pair release date a couple of days beforehand, still sat everywhere. Including on sneakers.
I like their release beforehand though, because that's one of the biggest things. I do understand that on Air Max Day people want to buy Air Maxes, right? But I also like the fact that you can sort of go, oh, this is the big Air Max Day release. It's here a few days early, because us weirdos that are into sneakers like to sort of like go out and wear your new Air Maxes on Air Max Day, right? Like people like to pull out a special pair. And if you can get something like a Big Bubble Royal Blue, which is one of the original colorways, I like the fact that people could have had that delivered in time for Air Max Day and enjoy it on the day.
Definitely.
But it does obviously, anything you release beforehand does sort of take away from the day.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously there was the DN, which there was multiple colorways, which some sold out on sneakers, but are sat everywhere else. I did see a couple of people being like, oh, it's the typical sold out on sneakers, all their hypes, and then literally everywhere they're just sat. But again, I saw a pair in my local JD actually recently, and they're not bad.
Oh,
They're not
really?
bad at all. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. But yeah, then obviously the anniversaries, which dropped at, I mean, 316 or 326. The only problem is 326 EU time, which is actually an hour earlier for us. So it actually dropped at 2:26 our time, which threw everybody off because I saw Caff teasing it, and then all of a sudden they appeared, and they were sat for a while. You could have picked them up if you were anything below a size 11, because size 11 upwards sold out immediately and never went back. Like, the stock levels were ridiculously low, and the rumored stock levels for that pair were beyond silly, not to mention other pairs that have released recently. I mean, trophy rooms, apparently there was only 30 pairs of EU 11 of UK 11s for the whole of Europe. That's the stock level that's rumored for that.
Yeah, but I never trust a lot of these stock level like releases.
It's
I never
just, I
trust
must
them.
admit, no, it's always pinch of salt. But certainly size 11s at the moment upwards, there does seem to be increasingly low stock, which is very frustrating for myself, which means, like I said, I didn't pick up a pair of the anniversaries, even though I was looking at them. I mean, the blues are still sat. I'm anticipating a little bit of a sale on those at some point with a discount. So yeah, they'll be picked up. But yeah, it was an odd one. I mean, there were some good pairs that released around the day, but like I said, the day itself, whatever. I mean, the one pair that did release, obviously recently, shortly after, which I saw more people talk about on the day than the actual Air Max Day pair, were the 95 Atlantas, which obviously dropped days after. But
What a shoe.
I saw more people talking about that pair on Air Max Day than I did the actual releases. So yeah, it was fine. I don't think the brands themselves, like the retailers, they didn't seem like to put as much effort into their own promo stuff this year as well. There was still stuff, but it wasn't on the same level we've seen previously. So yeah, like I say, it is what it is. I mean, as we've said multiple times, Air Max Day is always better than Sneakers Day. Well, this year they've opened the door to either both be shit or Sneakers Day to actually be all right. Who knows?
I was literally about to say, like, what you're saying, Scott, in theory is like we've set the bar really low with Air Max Day, so therefore Sneakers Day has a fighting chance. But again, if anything tells us with history is that Sneakers Day is normally worse than Air Max Day, so I don't know if that sort of puts us in a good position for Sneakers Day. But hey, you never know. They can't be a hit every single year. We can't be bigger
No.
and better every single year. Some years we're just going to have chilled years. And actually,
Yeah.
I do think that although we're sort of saying this in a little bit of a negative tone, I do think most of the people, unless you're a size 11, Scott, again, I know this is another episode of you moaning about how big your feet are, but I think for the majority of people, like the vast majority of people, they were able to get two pairs that they wanted in either the sort of 86 Royals
100%.
or the Air Max Day Vaults, or one or the other, right? There's a lot of people that have Air Maxes that they've wanted in their collection for a little while and have good collector's pieces now. So I think ultimately, like, there's always that argument, isn't it? And we're not going to go into it too deep because we do it every single time there's one of these days of like, what's actually more important, community and engagement or product? And even though the community engagement normally is good, people still moan if there's no product. At least this time around, we have had the product and most people got it. So that is a little bit of a positive. But given that we are recording on Friday, the 5th of April, Scotty boy, we thought it'd also be a good opportunity to spend a little bit of time just talking about quarter one this year. I know normally we do a sort of a half year review and then we obviously do our all-star episode at the end of the year. But now that we've made a little bit of a tweak to this intro segment where we're just sort of talking about whatever we want in this segment, we thought this would be a good little opportunity to just talk about the year so far, seeing as we are, like I said, 3 months in, a quarter of the way through the year. We don't normally do this, but we thought we'd give it a go this year. So I think really, if I was to summarize quarter one for 2024, it was the warm-up quarter is probably the best way to sort of put it. You and I have been saying for weeks, Scott, it's a bit quiet this month, a bit quiet this week, a bit quiet this week, a bit quiet this week. And it felt like for basically the entirety of January and the entire, at least sort of half to three quarters of February, it was just sort of a little bit quiet. And I feel like the further we've got into the quarter, like the second half of February, early March, late March, now all of a sudden we're starting to see, like, if you're thinking about like you being at the, like, warming up for football practice, right? Like the January and half of February was sort of like you doing your jogging on the spot and open the gate, close the gate, open the gate, close the gate. Like
flashbacks.
Yeah, honestly, like high knees, kick your bum. Like that's basically what January and half of February was. And now it's like, right, okay, guys, we're going to start ramping it up a little bit. We're going to do some sprints, or we're going to do some like practice kicks or whatever. Like that's where I feel like we are after quarter one. We're now getting to the stage where we're starting to get a little bit more serious and we are seeing some big releases. And if we think about some of the biggest sort of hyped releases of 2024 so far, we've had a couple of decent SBs drop. We've also had the reimagined Bred 4. We've also had the Trophy Room 1s, which a lot of people are really, really hyped about. We've had a variety of 991 V2s that have been selling out. We've had obviously the Asics that you liked a couple of weeks ago. There have been some decent releases, but it has felt as if those releases have been coming over the last sort of 3 weeks rather than the first 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of very good releases, like lots of really high ends. Like you said, you've got the Earl's Asics, which I'm very surprised at, you know, how popular that shoe was, sold at globally, which is impressive. Obviously, we just mentioned the 95 Atlantas that released recently, the incredible, was spoken about a lot, dipped off. Obviously, you've had the Bred 4s, you've had the Trophy Rooms, you've got Cactus Jacks starting to be teased coming up as well.
Consortium Cup.
Yeah, there's loads that have kind of just been ticking along. You've had all the Spezial stuff that's just dropped as well that kind of was really well received.
That Spezial drop was really good. Like there were number of really, really good shoes in that Spezial drop. And
yeah,
as well, like we spoke about it last time or a couple of episodes ago, you've had like the Dublin from Size that was, again, for the Adidas fans, like a huge shoe where you were actually seeing people like queuing up outside local sizes, which I know it's more likely to happen with the Adidas crowd, but it's not every single week you see that when it comes to releases.
No, yeah, this is it. There's been a lot. You know, obviously we've had Lorenzo drop. They've kind of gone. There has been a lot of very good, just consistent pairs, but there hasn't been anything so far that's released and I've gone, shit,
yeah,
I need that pair. There's a few that I keep kind of looking at and going, oh, I wonder. But there's been none that I felt really annoyed that I've missed. I know the one pair that seems to be the most consistent, I know it's probably one of the more recent ones, but the Trophy Rooms are a pair that I'm still seeing a lot of images of people wearing them, etc. I haven't seen anything of the Breads. Like, there was hype when it released, but I haven't seen any on-foot pictures of those since they dropped. Dunks, there are people I know that are like Dunks, but again, it doesn't seem to be as much. There doesn't seem to be anything so far that people have gone, like the massive, massive mainstream hype that we do see kind of with pairs sometimes. But
I think it's the magic
word. It's been consistently good, though.
It's the magic word sneaker of the year, right? Like, you obviously love it more than I do. It's the subject that we normally disagree on the most, where you sort of like the idea of a sneaker of the year and I don't. But I'm not hearing that many people throwing those words around. Like, normally by now, there might have been a release where we might be going, this could be sneaker of the year. Like, there's normally a debate where inevitably someone says it way too early, and by the end of the year, it's a pair that we've forgotten about. But I haven't really heard or seen a lot of people say, I think this could be on the sneaker of the year list at the end of the year. Like you said, the Trophy Rooms and the Breads are probably the only two that I've seen a potential for that. I think the Trophy Rooms more than the Bred, because the Bred was very polarizing, that it's leather, and a lot of people sort of made the argument of, oh, it's not a Bred because it's made of leather, blah, 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 blah. But I think you're right. The Trophy Rooms is the first where people have sort of really got behind a shoe.
Yeah, I think the trophy room is the one that's the top of the tree currently, I think, for most people this year. And you know, I can see why. I think it's the one pair so far that I've looked at, hyped pair, shall I say, that I've gone, ooh, that's good. But I think a lot of people are picking up like a lot of GR pairs, a lot of more underrated collabs. So that I think so far this quarter has been strong, but it's not. It's one of those. It's the unassuming strength rather than the kind of showy, you
Yeah.
know. Oh, here we are. I think it is. I mean, like I say, the 991 V2 in particular. That I don't think they've had a miss on a GR colorway yet. It's been
No.
absolutely incredible. So yeah, I think there has been a lot. There's been a lot of very good Saucony pairs, but again, kind of a lot of them GRs still kind of sitting around picking up, but. Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, even like Nike, Air Max Day, you know, the Air Max anniversary, a lot of people were saying, oh, maybe it'll be there. It won't be by the end of the year, but I think that's because there's been so many Air Max that have released so far that people are a little bit fatigued. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. We know there's J Balvin's coming soon, there's Jumpman Jack's coming soon. So there is going to be a fair few releases that people are going to start. Kind of, yeah, getting very excited for, but
Yeah.
yeah, it's been good. Like I say, by no means, there's been a lot that I've looked at and gone, I would quite like those, but there's also no pair that I've missed out on and gone, oh, that's annoyed me. Maybe the
Yeah.
Asics Earls, but that mainly, like I say, because it for diff kind of there's lots of reasons around that shoe as to why that was more of a frustrating release, but. Generally, yeah, it's all been good, and people seem to have got what they wanted as well. Like the people that have been hyped for Dunks have got their Dunks. The people that have been hyped for the J1 Lows have got the J1 Lows. Like,
I'm not seeing
yeah,
many
seems good at the
disgruntled
moment.
sneaker fans right now, which is a good thing.
No,
It's a good
not at
thing.
all. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, aren't maybe as open and actively involved in things like Instagram, etc., but still there, but they're just more. Actually, I can pick what I want. I buy what I want. I don't have to kind of go for everything and just pray that I manage to get something, which we've all done. So, yeah, no, it's again, it's good. And I think there is that hysteria still. I think, like I say, there are releases. There seems to be a lot of streetwear releases rather than sneaker releases that seem to be
Yeah.
generating that hysteria.
The
But
fashion side is like the streetwear fashion
are
side,
taken
like
off massively.
really, really like I think the last couple of years, it's been as long as you've got a really, really solid pair of trainers on, you can wear a pair of jeans and a white t-shirt. And of course, that is still there, right? But now it seems to be it's everything alongside it. Like it's do you have the latest Supreme drop or do you have the latest collaboration from this
Yeah.
particular like streetwear brand or whatever it is? I think you're right. I think the focus specifically on sneakers has sort of waned a little bit and
Yeah.
actually just fashion in general has become a lot of a much more stronger subject.
I think it was Kath posted up earlier when he said about a drop we will talk about in a bit, but it was the fact that he was saying about the price of the apparel and the price of clothing and the hype and what people are spending. And it's like I remember when like your shoes were the expensive part of your outfit, whereas now it's like that's the cheap bit. Like your whole the rest of your outfit is like 2% of a house deposit.
Well,
It
especially when you're
is.
wearing a pair of 90 pound Sambas, but then you're also wearing sort of the latest ALD drop on top of it or
Yeah.
something like that. Like all of a sudden, it's like you're wearing £200 hoodies, £300 jeans, a hat that costs you £100, a £700 jacket, but you're wearing £80 Sambas,
Yeah.
and it becomes a lot. It becomes a
It
lot.
does. It does.
But
And
I do still think though that we are like just starting to heat up. I think the reason why we haven't sort of really had that many mind-blowing shoes right now is because I think there's some really big ones that people are anticipating. I still don't think when I say really big, we're going to get many like thousands and thousands of pounds resale shoes. But there are some really, really big anticipated pairs that people just absolutely cannot wait for. Military blues being one of them, or as they're being called now, the industrial blue or whatever it is. Like so many people are really excited for the military four to come
Yeah.
out. Lots of people obviously really excited for the Jumpman Jack. I know that we sort of spoke about it recently when we thought it was going to release and it ended up being pushed back a bit, where I still don't really like the shoe, but a lot of people are really, really coming around to it now. So that's a big one on everyone's radar. You've got a couple of different Travis Scott lows that people are really, really excited for. You've got the olive lows, and then you've also got the canary lows as well that are sort of coming hopefully in the future. So there are, I think there are just some really, really big pairs that people absolutely cannot wait for. You've got more for Futura Dunk lows coming out as well. Like, there's some big, big pairs that people are very, very excited for. And I think because we know we live in a world now where no one gets caught out by releases, I think people are just sort of, it's the calm before the storm. Like I said, this is where we're just starting to run some drills ready before the game. The real game is about to start soon, and people are going to be, I think we will be seeing some disgruntled sneaker fans in the coming months when people don't perhaps get the pairs they want.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, probably me, to be honest, because I must admit...
Does it go up to a size 11?
It does seem to be getting quite tricky to purchase things at the moment. If even the ones that I do, the things that are sitting on there, like, God's sake. But if I had to push you for, like, your favourite shoe that's released in this quarter so far, what would you be kind of leaning towards at the moment?
Very good question. My favorite shoe that has released this quarter is what we described as the love child of a I've now completely blanked on the name as well, the same as I did in the episode. The Wave Runner 991 V2 is what I'm saying. Like, again, I can't remember the official colorway, but that sort of gray, blue, orange 991 V2 has probably been my favorite shoe that's released this year so far.
Okay. Yeah, that, I mean, that's sold out.
Or actually, I'll tell you everywhere. What, that's a lie. It's a 50-50 split between the Amamanier ship and that 991 V2. They're my two favourite shoes so far.
Yeah, like I say, Amamiya Airship. I'm pretty sure that's still sat in a full size run on Amamiya. I nearly pulled the trigger on that one. It was just I saw some images of that shoe with the midsole and how dark some people's midsoles were.
Oh, really? I haven't seen those pictures.
Oh, and I was there like, oh.
It's a bit of a risk.
They look a bit pissy to me. Like, they were.
Is it sort of? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It's not like, you know. I'm trying to think. Do you remember the Cactus Jack, the 270 that he did, where it was like the midsole was like that? It's that, and it's.
Okay, so it's a little bit yellowy.
It looked a bit.
Do you remember the? Do you remember those Dunk Highs? Those Dunk High 85s that they had that were like the sort of the ones that were like. Like sort of tie-dye-y or like bleach, like the bleach pairs. It was a red pair, black and yellow pair. They had a very yellow sole.
These are just like, it's like someone's got, as I said, it's almost like someone's got, like when you used to do an old kind of school project with a tea bag, and it looks like someone's physically got a tea bag and rubbed it up, and it's like, it's blotchy. It's not like consistent, and it's very hit and miss, as some pairs looked quite good and other pairs looked a bit not sure. So
yeah,
I was reluctant, especially seeing as coming over, you never know with fees, etc. But
I think
to agree, the Turbulence Grey 991 is
that
very
what it is,
good.
The Turbulence Grey.
Turbulence Grey.
It's
weird. It's like, it's called Silver Blue with Turbulence Grey, is in some images it looks really blue, and then in other images it looks really grey, and it looks really good. But there is, the pair that I keep looking at the moment is the Nimbus Cloud 991 V2. I sent you a picture of it earlier, that white with the
white
dark
with the gray.
Oh, I keep seeing reviews of it, and it just looks stunning. GR as well. So I'm hoping, even though so far the GRs have actually been harder to get hold of than the sneakers releases this year so far. So we'll wait and see, but it's good. It's good.
Yeah, I think for me, top three definitely have to be the Amamanier ships. I'm still adamant, unless I personally see some pictures that look a little bit dodgy, for me, that is still potentially the best Amamanier pair to release. I really, really like that green. Yeah, definitely as well has to be the those sort of blue 990 901 V2s, and then the other one that I have to of course shout out because we obviously know people involved in the release, but yeah, the Offspring ZX 8000s, the London pair. It's a grey ZX 8000 that has London on the side of it. It literally is basically a shoe made for me. So they have to be sort of the big three for me so far this year. But hey, as maybe by the end of quarter two, Scott, it's going to be interesting to see, are any of those pairs going to still be in the top, or is there going to be some things coming in the next few months that that might take those top spots? But we can only see. And also, just want to apologize in advance to our listeners. Last year was the 580. The year before that, I think, was maybe the 2002 R. Don't really know what it was, or maybe last year was the 990 V3. Like, I'm really, really sorry if you're already sick and tired of us talking about the 991 V2, but we say it every single year. New Balance are great at distracting people with the new shiny toy, and the problem is we're suckers for it every single year. So I do apologize that this year is already being crowned the year of the 991 V2. So you can either jump on the bus with us or be sick and tired of us
Fuck
talking
off.
about it. But yeah, basically, yeah, I was saying it more politely, but Scott said it. So jump on board or jump off.
I must admit, anybody that likes New Balance,
Loves that
and in
shoe.
particular that runner style of the kind of the 990, the 991, 992, etc., everybody is loving the 991 V2. Like, I've seen some reviewers that I kind of follow that have only picked up that shoe this year. They've
Yeah.
basically gone no to everything else and just gone, this is it. And they're not mad. So
Yeah. Some
yeah,
of the big New
it's
Balance pages that I sort of know the guys that run it, again, especially sort of like MBs Only, who like I became quite close with because of the fact that we're both lovers of the 920. Like, he's posting every single 991 V2, and it's like, I think this is now a 991 V2 page. Like, it's every single time. So it's really become like the New Balance of the New Balance fans. So I'd like to say, I just wanted to use this as an opportunity to apologize to listeners in advance. You're going to hear a lot of it, unfortunately, the same as it was the 580 last year and the 990 V3 the year before. But with that, before Scott tells any other listeners to fuck off, we should probably move into our first main segment of the episode, and that is Shoes Rounds. Every single week, we spend a little bit of time looking back at some of the biggest news stories that have hit the world of sneakers, and we give our thoughts and opinions. This week, it is me taking Shoes Rounds. Without further ado, pass over to me for Shoes Rounds. Scott, talking about releases in quarter one, I have biggest release I think I've ever seen to talk about in this week's news story. In fact, we thought it was going to be the biggest release in sneaker history until we found out that unfortunately it was all a joke. Of course, we are talking about the Adidas Shoebox shoe. This was something that I didn't even put two and two together, Scott, as an April Fool's joke. All of a sudden, I started seeing pictures online of and on the Adidas website of someone wearing what looks like a pair of sneakers made out of an Adidas box. We were seeing various sort of collaborators reposting it and things like this. It was on blog sites. People were doing review videos or sort of like, people were doing videos in response to the potential that this shoe is going to be coming out. It was all of a sudden all over my social media. And then, of course, we found out that it was, of course, an April Fool's joke. So, yes, Adidas posted on their confirmed app, like I said, a pair of sneakers that looks like it was made out of the classic blue with white stripes Adidas shoebox. Obviously, people then very, very quickly realized that it was not a real pair that you could buy. And obviously, ha ha, April Fool's joke. But what has since come from this, Scott, is Adidas have turned this into a sort of giveaway. On the confirmed app, they put the box shoe, blue slash cloud white, surprise upon request. Happy April Fools. Thank you for being part of our community and for inspiring us to keep pushing the boundaries. We did something out of the box and we're glad you joined in on the fun. While our recent stunt was all in good humor, what's coming next is no joke. Those who set a reminder on the box shoe page unlocked exclusive access for a chance to win a custom Gab Boys shoe cabinet inspired by the iconic Adidas shoe box and a sample of the box shoe, which I think is absolutely amazing. So as much as this is sort of a very sort of tongue-in-cheek news story, it's not exactly groundbreaking. Talk about some sort of amazing marketing where Adidas have been able to sort of spin this hilarious April Fool's joke into actually a giveaway that I'm really, really gutted that I didn't save the thing, because I would actually treasure a pair of these Adidas box shoes as a collector's piece. They're so cool.
Oh yeah, I mean, they are cool, but it shows where we are as a society, where
we're
we
getting
look
deep
at
on
these,
this, are we?
Well, it's more the fact that we look at these and we go,
plausible.
Seems fine. It's like, it's the fact that years ago, we would have
I blame mischief.
100%. It's 100% down to mischief. The fact that people have just gone, yeah. And then what I found funny is the fact people were posting up pictures of like them turning their like Nike Jordan boxes into like similar. And people going, oh my God, I can't believe Nike are doing that release as well. Like everyone's just gone, yeah.
That makes sense.
Makes sense. And I'd wear them. Why not? Like it's just... That's where we're at.
It's Mischief's fault and also Kerwin Frost's fault, because Kerwin Frost made some fucking weird shoes with Adidas as well. Like the do you remember the high tops that had like the mouth and the eyes and the ears on them and things like this, like the horse shoe. And there's obviously been a lot of weird and wonderful shoes. Who was the brand that also did the one that was like Bigfoot's foot? Again, when you see things like that, that legitimate shoes for sale, the idea of Adidas,
the Crocs, wasn't it?
Yeah, but like the idea of Adidas selling a shoe that is made out of a shoebox doesn't seem like a weird thing. Like, it didn't even cross my mind that this would potentially be April Fool's, because, like you said, Scott, I've seen weirder things, so I could see this as sort of a weird marketing ploy and be like, oh yeah, that's definitely something that happened in 2024. But yeah, whoever gets this pair, I hope you treasure it, because this would be such a cool little thing to just like have out on display in the study or something like that. Like, yeah, I'm a big fan of this.
Bravest Studios with the Bear Claw Mule. That's who it was.
Ooh.
They're currently reselling for £170 on StockX.
I'll take five, please.
Honestly. But this is the thing. It's the fact that they release and people will go,
Oh, no, that's not... I'm not thinking about that. The Bear Claw Mules. No, I'm not thinking about... I'll find you the pair that I'm on about. I'm on about the pair that literally look like Bigfoot's.
I was going to say, because those released recently, that pair.
No.
The Bear Claws. I remember seeing those. Obviously, there's been so many.
Someone bought a pair on sneaker shopping. It was like these things. Sorry, listeners won't be able to see this, but you'll know exactly what I mean.
Oh! Was it Imran Potato or whatever that did a pair of those?
Something like that. But someone definitely
bought
a pair.
I'm sure somebody did those.
Someone bought a pair on sneaker shopping. One of the episodes fairly recently, like
the last year. The pair of shoes that literally look like a massive pair of feet.
Yeah. That's what I mean. When you've got something like that selling and like actually selling, the idea of a shoe made out of a shoebox doesn't seem like it's outside the realm of possibility. I will say, though, I know you were saying there, Scott, that people thought that Nike were also doing this because people were sort of making it themselves. I know, of course, there's a big debate, Nike or Adidas. Like, there's some people that will always be Adidas fans, some people that will always be Nike fans. But I will draw the line at saying that if you're going to make a shoe out of a shoebox, the blue Adidas box is by far the one you want to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I'm comparing the Adidas box to the Nike box, to the Reebok box or whatever, like, that Adidas box actually kind of looks all right as a shoe. And I never thought I'd say that in the 3.5 years we've been doing this podcast. But definitely, I'm sorry, doesn't matter what brand you're sticking by, the Adidas shoe box looks like a better sneaker. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, I completely agree. I think the Adidas box is iconic in itself. Yeah, it's very, it stands out, doesn't it? It pops, it looks cool,
Yeah.
it works well. But yeah, funny, a funny April Fool's joke, one that people, like say, bought into, and but also one that, yeah, it certainly got people talking and did what it was intended to. So yeah, fair play to him.
And like I said, someone is going to be rewarded from it. Like I said, I like the fact that it was actually, there was a thought at the end of it to include it as a giveaway rather than simply just ha ha, April Fools, and see you later. So well done, Adidas. Again, top draw from you guys. But with that, that's the news. So, Scotty boy, we are back into the Doubled Up podcast studio. We have left the Shoes Round studio behind, and that means that we're moving into our second main segment, which is Double Up, Double Down. Every single week, we look ahead at some of the upcoming releases. We pick a shoe that we like, a double up, a shoe that we dislike, a double down, and a sleeper pick, a shoe that we think will be get a little bit lost amongst the hype, basically. Scott, of course, it is you taking this segment, so I'll pass over to you for Double Up, Double Down.
Brilliant. Yes, over to me.
Brilliant.
Good stuff. Good stuff, old sports. Yes, over to me for Double Up, Double Down. And again, it's one of those weeks where I was flicking through, and it was quite a tricky one to kind of pinpoint picks for this week. But I've had a go, and we'll see what happens. But the double up for this week is the Airship. Jordan Airship times Awake New York in the University Red colorway, coming in at £135, releasing on the 13th of April, 8 o'clock on sneakers. Awake New York, a brand ironically from New York, which
Really?
has its flagship store. It is, it, I know it's quite amazing, really. I do love it when brands actually just put where they're from in their name. It makes it much easier to do research. But yes, basically they have another collaboration with good old Jordan brand. The brand itself launched in New York City in 2012, and a brainchild of Queens native Angelo Back. It's a reflection of the diversity that continues to define the city's landscape. New York City, it's such a big place and has such a lot of different kind of aspects to it, especially in terms of streetwear that kind of bleed into one another. I always find it quite amazing when people talk about America and especially the states, because even within the states, there's just so much. It's almost like countries within countries within countries within countries, and kind of, yeah, dwarfs anything we really have in the UK. But yeah, the idea of Awake New York and its kind of style, if you're not aware of it, is kind of, it's very much looking at the downtown New York City style, especially in the early 90s, and kind of tries to put a modern day spin on it. So the collaboration they're doing with the Airship is, there's a, actually it there's a, it's a capsule collection. There is this, and then there is seven pieces of apparel, which we kind of alluded to earlier, that Kaf spoke about, the
Really
price.
expensive.
Oh boy. Oh boy, isn't it? I mean, it's a lot of, yeah, there's flannel shirts that are like £230. There's shorts that are coming in, there's caps, there's lots of things. There's a very nice men's varsity jacket that's £750. But yeah, the capsule collection is very cool, but it is, it's a little bit
I'm
expensive.
sorry, but a jacket shouldn't cost you three pairs of sneakers. Do you know what I mean? Not three,
It's a
sorry.
lot.
My maths is really bad there. I meant six, but I said three. Sorry, do apologize.
It is a lot. So the capsule collection is, as described by Awake, as a love letter to New York City's influence on basketball and street culture. And it's also a bit full circle, because Michael Jordan was actually born in Brooklyn, before his family moved to Wilmington in North Carolina. And yeah, so there is nice little links there. But the shoe itself that we're talking about is, as I said, an Airship, which, the one before the one, as it's often described, because, you know, it was the pair that Michael Jordan did wear that kind of gets a little bit shunned to the side for the original Jordan one. But this pair of shoes, I do really like them. Sail leather upper looks incredibly premium. University red snake skin accents, metallic platinum swoosh, layers kind of over the top of red. So you've got that really nice bold outline on the swoosh. Lots of branding, obviously co-branding on it. There is an embroidered A kind of on the side panel. Again, sail kind of aged midsole. I mean, the airship, I just really like what they're doing with it at the moment, and I think this pair in particular is good. I think it's just as good as the Am Am Air. I think in a different way, it's much bolder than the Am Am Air pair. But this is a pair that I'm looking at and I'm going, actually, I know we've just been talking about kind of sneaker of the quarter. I think this does jump into the conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, literally, what, not even 5 minutes ago, I said it would be interesting going into quarter two whether or not any of those shoes that I mentioned as my top three would be butted out by anything in quarter two. We're literally week one into quarter two, and there is already a shoe that I would consider up there in the top three. The Airship, I've said it before, and luckily the sort of people that listen to our podcast aren't diehard Jordan fans, so I don't get too much hate for this. Or people also know that I'm not the biggest Jordan fan, but you say there, Scott, the one before the one, it's the one that's better than the one in my eyes. Like, I honestly, truly believe that the Airship is a better shoe than the Jordan 1. Not as iconic, of course, but I think from like a not necessarily a shape perspective, but like a color blocking perspective, where the like most of the shoe is sort of a block white or a block black. Like, this shoe is pretty much all white leather with that beautiful red like snake skin print going across the collar of the shoe, a lovely sort of red and silver swoosh. Like I said, the emboss sort of stitched in A, and that beautiful sort of aged midsole. This is a beautiful shoe. So yeah, absolutely smashed it. Like, well done. One of my favorite shoes already to release this year.
Yeah, I haven't bought a Jordan 1 in a while. Like, I can't remember. I think it would have been not last year before. I don't think I bought. It's got to be a good couple of years now because there's been nothing that's really grabbed me. But I keep seeing a lot of airships, and the thing is, I often look at eBay and StockX, and actually, if I wanted to, I could pick up like Am Ami Air airships. I could pick up, these are only going for 110 quid on StockX pre-release at the
Wow.
moment. I could pick up kind of corporate pairs, even Nigel Stilvest pairs, the Sol Goods pair as well, and I could pick all of those up for like 100 quid each.
They're
Like, if I
so
wanted
good.
to, I could sell my very, very limited collection of Jordan ones I've got knocking around and build what could potentially be a better airship collection straight off the bat. They're criminally underrated, absolutely criminally underrated. They are beautiful. So yes, it is a pair that is increasingly looking likely. I may have a little look and just
Little
see what
dabble, little
happens.
dabble.
Maybe. But we shall see. But we'll move on to the double down, because while Jordan is doing some good things, Jordan also comes in for our double down pick for the week, because we have the Jordan 3 Green Glow, £190, releasing on the 12th of April. Through sneakers and pretty much every sneaker outlet there is going. Oh, so it's a Jordan 3. It looks like the black cement, except they've made it worse. That's the only way I can really put it, because it's a bit of an odd one. Because when I first looked at it, I went, I can't really pinpoint what they've done to the shoe, but it looks bad. And then I realized after kind of picking up my black cement threes, my much loved black cement threes, it's the material looks good. The black leather looks beautiful. The elephant print looks almost the same. However, the difference between this and kind of a standard kind of black cement is there is this very luminescent green hits kind of on the eyelets. And the back tab as well is kind of has the Jordan Air as opposed to the Nike Air kind of logo in this kind of luminescent green. And they've also added some extra elephant print onto the kind of well, the eyelid portion where normally it's kind of a gray.
Looks
They've
weird.
kind of added, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's like they've added a tiny little bit of extra elephant print, and it just seems to ruin the shoe. Not to mention they've given it a suede tongue, which looks like felt. It doesn't look particularly premium. The leather looks really good on sneakers, but the rest of the shoe looks pretty cheap. So, yeah, it's just not as good as other pairs they've done, and it's one of those pairs that you just think, why have you done it? Like, what was the point in this? Just leave it. It just seems production for production's sake. And I know we keep saying about, pairs sitting, and there's lots of things about kind of every brand trying to be like eco-friendly and do all this. It's like, well, why have you made a shoe like this then? It's not going to sell out. It's going to sit there. It's going to hit the sales. And quite frankly, I don't know anybody that wanted this or will want this.
You feeling better now, mate?
Yeah, I got that off my chest.
It looks like a kid's shoe, basically. Like,
Yeah.
honestly, I really, this looks like it should be in sort of grade school or like toddler sizes, and that's sort of as far as it goes. I don't feel like this looks like an adult's shoe. And I know obviously you're saying that it's very similar to a Black Cement 3, but you are right, it has got differences. That sort of sea foamy green, obviously it's the green that they're calling like the green glow colorway, but this sort of sea foamy, not quite neon, not quite blue green, like it just looks like a something that will be on a child shoe. Like I said, I think this would be a really cute looking shoe in like sort of on a toddler, but I just don't see, like, I couldn't ever picture someone like you wearing this, Scott. Like someone that is like a 6 foot
An
size,
adult.
yeah, like 6 foot, size 11. Like I can't imagine anyone of that size of a human wearing this shoe. Someone that is, like I said, a 3-year-old kid, a 4-year-old kid running around a
Yeah.
playground with this. Like, yeah, cool. The color looks, it looks like a childish shoe. So yes, it's not for me. It's not for me.
I don't know why they haven't done this, because they did release a children's Jordan 3 recently that was like almost this cherry blossom petal colorway that was actually a pair that I was like, man, if they made that in adult sizes, like I think they would actually do pretty well.
Do you reckon
But
they've just ordered it the wrong way around? Like, do you reckon like
maybe someone's being fired.
someone at Jordan's messed up, and they all of a sudden like 50,000 pairs of these have turned up in adult sizes, and 50,000 pairs of the cherry blossoms have turned up in child size, and they've
Yeah.
gone, ah, oh, fuck.
It's weird. Like, I just don't quite understand why. Because I agree, like I say, for as a children's colorway, seems good. I mean, the other pair they did was like white leather. I mean, actually, there's a picture of them. It's like white leather with like pink safari print,
Yeah.
and it was actually something different. I thought, why have you put so much effort into this children's shoe on a Jordan 3, and then you kind of produced this utter shite and just put that out? Like, what's the point? It's very silly, but there we are. But we'll move on to a sleeper pick. And this was a sleeper pick because this is one that actually initially I missed. It's that kind of slept on that, yeah, I saw pictures of it, skipped past it, didn't realize the date. These release on the 11th of April, supposedly, so Tuesday. It's coming from Calf's Stories, and I trust Calf's Stories implicitly. So it is the Nike Attack. In the Wimbledon colorway, this shoe is coming in a white leather upper with a purple suede swoosh with green suede accents on the heel counters and outsole. Oh, I mean, they've done a Mac Attack, and they've done it in like classic Wimbledon colors. I mean, it's a tennis shoe in Wimbledon colors. Like, what's not to like about it? It is, yeah, good idea. It looks really good as well. Like, it's really simple. So yeah, as a sleeper pick, big fan. I think the Nike Attack or Mac Attack, whatever you want to call it, seems to be incredibly slept on. The people that wear it absolutely love it, but there are a lot of people that are still, yeah, not kind of looking at it, and it's hitting the sales regularly. So this seems like a steal whenever it comes around these days.
I mean, hey, I'm a Wimbledon guy. Like, I love Wimbledon so much, and like, yeah, this is a perfect shoe. That sort of it's iconic. It's an iconic colorway that as soon as you put that Wimbledon colorway on it, you go, yep, totally understand. And obviously, the storytelling there is obviously it's to pay homage to John McEnroe's three Wimbledon championships. But I know obviously it's called the Wimbledon shoe, Scott. But do you not also think because it's so white and then with a little bit of green and a little bit of purple, it also looks like a Buzz Lightyear shoe, which as a Disney fan also is fuck. As a Disney fan, I also really fucking love as well. Like this shoe is just like a win-win-win-win-win to me.
Oh no, you've said it. I'm not going to be able to unsee it now.
It's a predominantly white leather shoe, which we know. I love a white leather shoe. It's based on Wimbledon. I love Wimbledon. And it also looks like a Buzz Lightyear shoe. I love Disney. Like this thing is just incredible. Like I love this shoe so much.
I was going to say, I know I'm not here to like encourage you to buy shoes, but I reckon you'd wear the shit out of these.
Oh, honestly, these wouldn't leave
It would
my feet.
Suit you down to the ground as well. Like it's not, because it's not a high top. It's that nice little mid-cut. Yeah, the colorway, white leather.
This is a me shoe.
But you've called it the Buzz Lightyears, and that now is a stain on its
A stain.
Records. I'm not going to be able to see that now. I looked at Wimbledon and went, oh, classy Wimbledon, strawberries and cream.
It could be
going
both.
Buzz Lightyear, where I'm thinking, oh, kind of. Whenever I think of Buzz Lightyear, I just think when he malfunctions and he's just got the little hat on his head. That's all I think of.
When he malfunctions, so what? Not when they, is it Toy Story 3 when they change him to speaking like Spanish only?
Oh, Buzz Lightyear, what a underrated character in any film. But it looks good. It does look very good. And I think there is, whether you like Buzz Lightyear or whether you're from Wimbledon, either way.
Or if you like both.
or if you like both.
And inevitably, Scott, like you said, it's a Nike attack, so it'll probably hit the sale. And talking about sales, that moves me on nicely before I go on any more tangents this episode to our Steal of the Week. Steal of the Week. Yeah, I had to save myself there, Scott, because I was a little bit worried we were going to go down all sorts of rabbit holes if I'm starting to talk about a Wimbledon shoe that also looks like a Buzz Lightyear shoe. So I had to sort of like exit stage right really quickly.
Malfunctioning Buzz Lightyear, that's all I can think of now. Mrs. Nisbet, that's all I can think of.
Oh dear, but the shoe that we're having for the Steal of the Week this week is not necessarily a shoe that is for me, because I've gone out and said that this brand isn't really my style, but I know it is for a lot of people, and the colourway actually is really, really nice on this shoe. We're talking about the size exclusive Salomon XT6 Expanse, which is a size collaboration. It's on a very, very sought after Salomon sort of silhouette. And it was £145, now £100. Not the hugest of size runs, but we do have an 8, a 9, a 9.5, a 10, a 10.5, and an 11.5. So yeah, anyone that's in the market potentially for their first Salomon wants a nice clean colorway, this could be for you.
Yeah, solid. Nice shoe. I thought it was nice when it released. So I like it. I like it. Nice pair in the sale. Go wrong.
Exactly. Just in time for those summer hikes, right? So anyone that's going to spend a summer outdoors. But with that, Scotty boy, let's move on to our final segment of the week. And that is, of course, the Doubled Up Podcast, Triple Up. So, Scotty boy, as we always say, this once was a segment that you absolutely hated, and now we've turned it around. And in this segment, what happens for any new listeners, I will very shortly present Scott with three different shoes. And Scott is going to be tasked with blind ranking them 1, 2, 3. There's normally a theme. For the whole of last month, we had an Air Max theme. And I thought I'd change the theme up a little bit going into a new month and a new quarter, Scotty boy. And the theme for this week is actually Jound. Seeing as the reason being, Scott, is because, of course, the other big release that happened the same week of Air Max Day was the Jound Samba. So I thought, we've just come out of, we've just finished with Air Max Day. What was immediately after Air Max Day? A bit of Jound. So this week's theme is Jound. So we're going to talk a lot about some shoes that sort of look like GRs but have a different name on the sides and therefore probably resell for thousands of pounds. So Scott, are you ready for your first shoe?
Yes, lay it on me.
I have
Probably gonna
delivered.
have to research what these are because half of them are gonna just be the same fucking color.
Oh, well, shoe number one is the Jound times Bapester in the white and grey colorway. Surprise, surprise, Scott. It's a white and grey colorway and a Jound. But where are we putting the Jound Bapester?
I mean, it's a white and grey Bapester, so it's. I'll put it bottom. Just, I mean, it's not a bad shoe by any means, but it's a rip-off Air Force One with a grey swoosh on it, and then someone's gone, no, it's from
Oh,
Jound.
is it?
Brilliant, fantastic. Next.
I really I knew you'd like this. I knew you'd like this theme. The second shoe, Scott. This one isn't grey, if that's any sort of consolation here. We are going with the Jound times New Balance 990 V4. Oh, sorry, 990 V3 Montreal.
Oh, I like the Montreal. I
It's not
do like the
grey.
Montreal.
It's not grey, but it
It's
is
not
brown and cream.
grey.
It's
I
brown
was
and
gonna
cream.
say, yeah, we've jumped onto the neutral tones bandwagon of Jound, which is basically their whole bandwagon, to be honest. So yeah, I do really like that shoe. I think it's a very good color, and I like, yeah, it looks classy. I'm gonna put it top. I think it's one of my favorite ones they've done. That doesn't say much because they all look so similar. But let's see what's going in the middle. A different
Oh.
shade of brown, I'm sure.
No. We're going back to grey. Because
Great.
the shoe that you have put, therefore, number two, Scott, is the Asics times Jound Gel Kayano 14 in the silver and black colorway. You've got a little bit of Mesh Boy Summer for smack bang in the middle there, Scotty.
Oh, right. It's yeah, great. It's the fucking GR. It's lit. Why are people paying £500 for this? The
Oh
Bapesters, I can
dear.
understand because they are a higher
They
price. Like
retail
it's
higher, yeah.
Bapester. Like I get, it's still a rip-off Air Force One. I get that, but. This one in particular, I remember seeing and being like, I've seen so many GRs that are the same as this. It's almost criminal that they can actually put their name on it and say it's a collab. Like, whoever is at Jounds and is getting paid extortionate amounts of money to come up with this is stealing a living. Like, this is because they are literally doing nothing. Like absolutely nothing. It's yeah, beyond bonkers. I
Oh
don't. I
dear.
like Jound stuff. Just to clarify, I do like it because what's not to like? It's very neutral. It's very easy to wear, but it's bloody expensive.
One thing you will never say about a Jound collaboration is, oh, it's a little bit bright for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's never going to be that. It's never going to be that. Well, Scott, just to quickly round up, at number one, you had the Jounds times New Balance 990 V3 in the Montreal colorway. In the middle, you had the Jound times Asics Gel Kayano 14 in the, as you've called it, the GR colorway. And bottom, we have the Jound times Bapester in the white and gray colorway. And Scott, as much as that segment has given me a bundle of laughs, let's keep the laughs coming. Because do you have a dad joke for us?
I do. Why was the baby strawberry crying?
I don't know.
Because his mum and dad were in a bit of a jam.
Get out. Oh, God, that was terrible. That was so bad.
It was, yeah.
Oh dear, Jesus Christ. We have a week off, we come back, and the episode has ended. I feel like I was doing really well throughout this episode, Scott, and I feel like the last 10 minutes have just broken me. So, With that, I'll say thank you for listening to the Doubled Up podcast. Remember, if you like this episode, leave us a 5-star rating and review and share the podcast with your friends and family. Make sure you follow at Doubled Up Podcast on Instagram and use hashtag Doubled Up Pod to be featured on the Instagram page. You can find me, Matt, at Matt_Sibley_ on Instagram. Scott, tell the listeners where they can find you.
You can find me at @_sneakerteacher.
Speak to you next time, guys. And as always, peace, Manu-san.